Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
A tragedy took place last night at Quantico, Virginia, just south of Washington, D.C., reported by CBS News that a Marine, they're all in officer candidate school. I think they work for, reportedly they work for the OCS, officer candidate school there, that one Marine shot two, murdered two Marines, and then went and barricaded himself in the premises, and around 2:30 Central Time, Eastern Time, as they go check him, they find out that he even turned the gun on himself. These tragedies, you know, it just makes me think of Fort Hood. It makes me think about the fellow officer that turned his gun on many fellow military brothers and sisters and murdered them and wounded them. And he's on trial right now. And what happened? There's the brotherly, the band of brothers, the common bond. The use of the unbreakable, what happened to the unbreakable force of the armed forces that we fight together, we live together. That's the whole, that's how it works.
Yeah.
And it's like a spirit of division and discord and distrust. And let me tell you, the embracing of all these different religions, these false gods by the military, these world religions, and just setting aside or diluting the gospel, you know, Judeo-Christian values that the country was founded on, this is what we get. This is what we get. This is tragedy. This is tragedy when, you know, this is the guy you're going to, you got to understand, you're in the military, he's like, this is the guy that's by you. This is the one you're going to go take a land with. This is one you're going to go take the hill with. This is the one that you,
are in the foxhole with.
You're in the foxhole with, that you're eating with, that you're sleeping with. And even if you have differences, you know you got to fight together so you work them out. Because your life's going to depend on his, and his life's going to depend on hers or his, you know, military. And all of a sudden, I mean, this nothing, that's a unique bond that, you know, 20 years down the road, 40 years down the road, and you start seeing things like VFW and these different things. These are guys that just, they're so connected, they had to find something to connect with.
Yeah.
Because it's such a, and like today, it's like everybody, it just seems like a spirit of sand. You know, when friends of mine describe who are missionaries in China, they describe China, the unity is like sand there. Nothing sticks together. There's so much distrust. And so much things have been sown into our culture and into our military, because they're using our military as a prototype for what they want to be able to push into society. And they begin to open up in all these different ways in the military and say, hey, let's just do it in the military. That's ours. We can do anything we want to. Yeah. And kind of, you know, comparing it to other things. And now, I mean, look what happened. You open the doors, all these different religions, and now somebody is shooting our fellow soldiers because of their religion. Because of their religion. This, was he a commander or in Fort Hood?
He was, he was high up.
Major. He was a major.
He was ranked. Yeah.
Because we embraced his religion, you know, and just brought them in to put them by somebody else who didn't embrace his religion, and with, with a country who openly didn't embrace what his particular religion was doing, people in his religion, that it cost them their lives.
That's right.
I mean, you can't put the North Pole and South Pole together and expect them to accomplish something. You can't mix light with darkness and think that it's not going to, you know, they're going to defeat, you know, it's just not going to work. And when you start seeing the ultimate experience of training together and fighting together, that doesn't even work. That doesn't even work. I mean, you know, and when I was in law enforcement, there was something about, I think about, you know, Raynard Robinson and myself. He's an officer, I believe, a lieutenant at Sheriff's Department. He and I used to work together. And real good man, Christian man, and there was a night that we were working together, so we had a decent relationship. But there was a night that we went through where we came up on an armed robbery, a burglary, and we didn't know the house was second time it supposedly been robbed. So normally people panic and call the second time. And you know, Raynard covered the front, and I covered the back of the house. And all of a sudden, there was somebody in it. We found out. And, you know, early morning hours, you know, in the morning, like two in the morning or something. And they come barreling out. They come trying to get out the front door, and they saw Reynard, so they came back in. Then they tried breaking out the side window, but they couldn't get out the side window. Then they saw me in the back, and so they just ran as fast as they could out the front door and threw open those old wooden screen doors and Reynard and shot right at Reynard.
Wow.
And it was a 22, so it went ting. And then Reynard pulled out his we had his 357 out, and it went and so the guy with a 22 just throws his 22 up in there. It just scared him so bad. I mean, you feel like you gotta be shot when you hear this. Of course, Reynard was anyway, so it went all the way up and it landed somewhere. And of course we were chasing our guys down. I got mine, he didn't get his. And but the thing is that just it tied us even deeper together, because that was the night that could have cost our lives.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We were the only two that experienced that. It was a unique experience that nobody can duplicate, that particular experience.
Nope.
And immediately, you know, things were happening, and we had to stand together and just say, you know, hold on, we got to catch our breath. We just got shot at, you know, give us a moment to catch our breath here. And I just felt like at that moment, you know, because if Reynard was alone, that might've been Reynard's last night. Or if I was alone, that could have been my last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we were together, and it's just God, you know, that kept us. And but those moments, you see what I'm saying? And it's like, I don't shoot Reynard. Reynard doesn't shoot me. You know, we're together.
That's right.
You know, we the police, you know what I'm saying? And if you're a soldier, you're the soldier, you're the Marines. You know, you're if you're officer candidate school, you're training the leaders of our military, and you're shooting each other.
Mm.
Or you're not shooting. Yeah, you shot one of your fellow officers.
Mm. Mm.
This is a bad spirit. This is a bad, you understand, when you talk about spirit, you're talking about mindset, the way you're thinking. Why are you thinking that way? What happened to you that would cause you to be willing to pull out a gun and shoot the very man that would fight by your side?
Mm.
You know, what happened in Fort Hood that you know, what are you doing here? You don't, you're not a band of brothers with us. You're against us. If you can shoot us, you're not for us. I don't care how you put it and how you wrap it. If you can shoot us, you're not for us. And anything divided will fall. And I just want to just say that our prayers go out to the families that lost their fathers, their brothers, their sisters in Quantico. This is the reason why we do what we do on VFN Radio, because we believe that if God's people, if we'll just say, God, we're sorry, we've sinned, we've fallen short, we've gone the wrong way, we left your ways, we quit reading your word, we quit doing what it said, God, forgive us. And we just kind of go back in by God's grace and begin to repent and humble ourselves and pray and seek the Lord, then this would not have happened, or at least won't happen again in the future if we do that. And the church has got to say, listen, we're sorry for our rebellion that has allowed such discord and such tragedy, you know, and now it happens again. John?
Well, you know, it reminds me too of, you know, sad but true, but reminds me how the church sometimes shoots its own wounded.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to be sticking together. We're supposed to be on the same side.
Right.
And there's nothing worse to see that a fellow believer to attack another believer. And it's like, we're brothers, we're sisters in the Lord, and that's not what God would want us to do. In fact, the Word of God tells us, you know, gives even instruction. Don't even go to court with a believer. You know, settle this thing out and talk with each other and bring other folks into that conversation. And it just reminds me that, you know, as the church, we need to not do that ourselves. We need to hold each other up and pray for one another and get counsel and wisdom before we allow our mouths to, you know, attack somebody else.
Right.
You know, words are powerful.
Right.
Words are powerful, and people get offended, they get hurt, and then you have divisions, you have splits, you have all sorts of stuff that's happening, all because someone felt so comfortable. Yeah, sure, they didn't pull out a physical gun, but they loaded a revolver in their mouth and spewed out all these words that just shredded people apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus tells us that if you even call your brother a fool, you're in danger of judgment. But, you know, John writes that in the book of John, I think it's 1 John, that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer.
Right.
Think about it. You're in danger of judgment. Think about that. If you hate your brother, yeah. Somebody says, I don't hate. Check out the definition. You'd be really surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't use the word, but I definitely live out the definition of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it's like, remember, whatever we do to the least of these of his.
That's right.
You know, we do. You're right. That's a real good analogy to help us really understand. As shocking as what we just heard at Quantico and what we've seen at Fort Hood,
yeah,
and some other areas, that, we've seen the very same thing with words and with, you know, it's just totally amazing. It's the reason why people argue is because they don't get what they want. And,
yeah,
it's hard to, it's really amazing. And I guess naive is definitely the theme, that people are jealous about things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, it's like Jesus is going to the sons of thunder, his mama.
Yeah.
He's like, you really want these seats? That you're jealous over who's going to be sitting on the side of me? I think that's what he's really saying. We want that. Oh my, somebody else might get it. I want to get it. It's like, really? He's like, you think you could drink this cup?
Mm. Exactly.
And it's like, do you want, somebody says, well, I want to be an evangelist like Steve Hill. Do you really?
Yeah.
Do you really? Do you understand the cup that he has drunk and he is drinking today?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Do you think, oh, I want to be like, you know, Mariah Etter? Well, why? Because she lost six of her children because she hesitated in a response to the call of God on her life, and her husband's out committing adultery while she's having a ministry meeting in California and it's hitting the front page. Is that why?
Mm.
Maybe what? Maybe that's it. Mm. Oh, you know, I just want to be like, and you can just name them all day long. And it's like, no, listen, we got to understand that jealousy, people are in jail today, physically and spiritually, because it's the jail of jealousy.
Mm.
And jealousy, with that comes murder.
Mm-hmm.
Murder comes when people are jealous. For example, if you're working a convenience store, and this person, for some reason, wants the money behind the cash register. They're jealous. There's some reason they're just focused in. There's got to be money in that, and I want it. They're jealous of the money that person got for working and building that store and selling products and giving their life to it, and they just want it. They're just jealous of it. Instead of, hey, go build your store, sell you some products, you know, and get you the $20 you're going to get out of this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they rob or sometimes murder people,
mm-hmm,
just to get open up the cash register to take out a few dollars, because if that's jealous, they wanted that wasn't theirs. And we can't be naive. You know, a spirit of jealousy gets on so many people, and you might wonder why people just freak out about you. And because, you know, nobody can even, well, some people could say, I know why people are jealous of me. Those are the prideful ones that you don't have to worry about. But most people say, why would you be, do you want to drink this cup? Do you want to switch them?
Yeah.
Do you want to switch roles? And, but you can't be naive and think that it's not there. There's people that just get jealous. They feel really insecure. The devil takes advantage of that, begins to feed things in their life, begins to cause them to think that, brown grass is green. It's amazing how green brown grass looks from a distance. Yeah. You know, you think about, you know, Gideon, when the way the perception of the others that he was called to respond to, their perception was, man, I just wish I had what Gideon had. You know what? He lost thousands of people. And he was left with 300, you know, and a clay jar, a torch, and a horn. It's like, yeah. Well, you had the opportunity to be in the army, remember?
That's all right.
You ran. Right. And so, my goodness. So we got to really watch, when you talk about the church, jealousy. You got to watch the spirit of jealousy. Think about this. Think about being behind jail bars. It's the jail of jealousy, envy. I want what they have. Some people say, I deserve what they have.
That's scary.
The spirit in the land is, I deserve this. I need this CEO's money. I need this transfers of wealth. I'm thinking, they're like, you know, they're just jealous of it. Mm-hmm. They're singing songs like, I want to be a millionaire. They're singing songs like, I want money. They're singing songs like, I want a big car and a big house. And it's like, well, if you don't have one, where are you seeing all this stuff? And if you're seeing it, then that means you're actually envying what they have. So really, that's all a spirit of jealousy. It's a murdering spirit. It's a murder. Okay. You might people might not murder by the deed, but by the tongue. And they talk down to about you or down about some particular successful businesswoman or businessman or ministry. And the thing is what happened is why would you even give them the time of day with your words? It's because they're jealous of that businessman, that businesswoman's success, or you know what God is doing with a particular minister in the world. And it's sad but true. You know, it just happens. I quit denying those realities because I had to live. Right. Okay, I know you're beating me right now, but we got to work through this. You know,
right.
Why can't we just all get along? Yeah. Because I'm jealous of you. I'm jealous. You know? Why? And so, and so what happened? We don't know what happened, but I know with a spirit of murder, yes, jealousy's there quite often. And with all the things we're mixing together in our military, treating it like a mixing pot, like they're not our brothers and sisters going just to serve the country. And now all of a sudden they ended up to be in some scientific experiment and say, we're going to inject this whatever into your life. And we're going to watch you for a while and see how you respond. Maybe you may break out from it. Maybe you may die from it. Maybe you may, you know, it's like we're just, and all you did was just volunteer to go serve your country.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm some national experiment. Yeah. To see if I'll live through this or not.
Yeah.
And so you can see where, okay, our study says they're killing each other. Right? That's what you say. If your prognosis is this and your hypothesis was that, but now your prognosis is going like, hey, now we see. You know, our hypothesis is not true. They're going to kill each other. When you put opposites in to fight a war together and you put all these things and make it a cultural experiment, they suffer because of it. They're killing each other. And you know, if you're going to fight a war with people you don't trust, you're not going to win the war.
Right.
You're not going to win the war thinking at one moment there's a man behind the console that has a top secret clearance that's going to sell all the secrets to Wikipedia or WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
You're just going to, any moment you're thinking this is going to be out. You know, it's just going to be out. And so you don't trust. You don't do those risky things it requires to be able to succeed in war. You know?
Yeah.
And because you think
I'm not going to storm this hill.
That's right. Because you're not going to have my back. You're going to call for support or air support or something like that. And somebody's going to say, well, you know, I just don't really think you should take the hill. So I don't know if I'm going to let them know that you should send some air support. Think about that.
Yeah. Shaky.
Oh, yeah.
They're defeated before they even take the ground.
Right. Right. And, you know, we should be, especially the church, we should be able to, one of us to be blindfolded and trust our brother to take us by the arm and lead us around. That's how close we should be.
Yeah,
that's how close we should be. And that's what tells people that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ by our love for each other. He says, listen, a new commandment I give to you. Love each other. By this, they will know that you're my disciple if you love each other.
Mm.
And that's our identification. You know, we're the band of brothers and sisters. We're that family band.
Mm-hmm.
And the world's not going to know how it works unless the church begins to walk it out. You know, and the family of God, he says, you know, Jesus said this when he was in a house and he was ministering to his disciples. And he said that your mother and your brother's outside.
Hmm.
And they thought he actually had went crazy. They thought Jesus had went crazy. They thought he lost his mind. They thought he was making bad diet decisions. He was making bad diet decisions because, he wasn't eating.
Right.
And so they were going to come down there and say, listen, you're really pushing yourself a little too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And we've noticed this in your personality. You need to come on home. You know, and mom was like, Jesus can't play right now.
Right.
He's got to come home. He's got to come home. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. And he didn't even go to the door.
Nope, didn't get up.
He didn't even say Hail Mary full of grace.
No, he didn't.
Nope.
He looked down at his disciples because he's teaching them. He says, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And of course, people today, we go, and those two folks standing outside?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sit down, please. This is a rhetorical question. Right? Because the church today thinks so naturally. It's just like, don't you understand that we're spirits that have bodies, that possess a soul, that God is a spirit? But Jesus took on the form of man forever for us so he can identify with us. Mm. But we're spirits that have bodies. We're never talking about the natural. The flesh counts for nothing.
Yeah.
For nothing. And then he looks at his disciples there and he says, who is my family? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Another one steps up and says, oh, the one that went to the altar and said a prayer, right? The one that said, I believe that Jesus exists. I believe that he's the Son of God. And I just want to reward him by giving myself to him. Right? And Jesus said, rhetorical, sit back down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He said, let me tell you, realize this is God talking to you. You're in a house, the things that you dwell in. I've come down here as you're sitting around this floor, listening to me because I'm saying nothing unless my Father tells me to say. So listen, the creator of the universe is using me as conduit to you right now. And he's leaving Mary and his brother outside. And he's trying to let you know he wants you in the family, but you got to understand what does it mean to be a family member?
Mm.
So many people go, yeah, I know so-and-so. Yeah, we're really close. And you go talk to the person's like, who, what, what? You go, oh, you were just a friend of them on Facebook. You don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And anyway, so Jesus says, let me tell you who the family is. And that's what he came for. Jesus came for the family. He came for family. He came for a bride to live together with us forever. To wash us, to cleanse us, to remove all the stains in our life and all the whatever. He's just madly in love with us. But we have to understand he's the one that came for us and he wants us in his family. It's not us asking Jesus in our family. We're getting in his family.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. God wants you in his family. He's about to say right now, at this one moment in time while Mary is still outside ringing the proverbial doorbell and the door not being answered, he's about to tell us who's in the family of God. Can you imagine? If there's a pause there, they would be going like, it's in his family. I wonder, maybe there's other ones that's in his family. Because they're not thinking, you know, how could I be in the family of God?
Right? Crowning moment.
It's a very crowning moment. It is a crowning moment. And we need to focus. You need to let everything, all the universe is tilting on these words here. Because if you think it's about religion, you've missed it. And you might as well join the other radical religious wackos out there that are thinking it's something other than a family.
Mm.
And he said, let me tell you who's the family of God. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Jesus is going, my mother, Son of God. Let me tell you who my mother is. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we are joint heirs with Jesus. We're heirs of God. We're in the family of God as a believer.
That's right.
And so we're brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and all that kind of stuff. And he says, let me tell you who my mother and brother, let me tell you who the family of God is. Those who do the will of my Father in heaven.
Mm.
Oh my goodness. Who your daddy is, right? We heard that statement 1,000 times. I've heard it 1,000. Mm. Who your daddy is? You know why they say that? Because they don't know who their daddy is. That's the big thing. Because like the daddy's not around.
That's right.
But who your daddy is? And in the church, we need to start saying who your daddy is. Who's your dad? Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Yeah, you I know who your daddy is.
Mm-hmm.
Your daddy is the one that is a liar."
Mm.
And he's always been a liar. Not only is he your father, he's the father of lies itself. Satan, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Religious folks had a father. When he said who your daddy is, he already knew who it was. Because if you were actually listening, if you really were part of the family, if you were listening to my father, then you would know who I am. And the very fact that you don't even know who I am, and you're trying to tell me how it's supposed to be, I mean, think about it. It's like, hey, yeah, I know who your daddy is. I know who your daddy is. God, the creator of the universe, if you make a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you come into the family of God to say, you know, I want to be in the family of God. So I know I need to become his disciple. I need to do what he says. I need to find out how do I obey God? What do I do? What do I do? And then it's called being discipled. It's called being transformed. It's renewing the way you think and thinking like the new way they called it in the beginning, the new way of life.
Mm.
Connected by love, not by organization. And join the family of God. That's an amazing thing. And look how the enemy is beginning just to divide and divide and divide and divide. And religion divides. Jealousy divides. Envy divides. Greed divides. Selfishness divides. Idolatry divides. But true lovers of Christ, imitators of Christ, lay down their lives for their brothers. They lay down their fortunes for their brothers. They lay down everything for their Lord and say, just like Jesus said to the Father, this is what I'm thinking, but the only thing that's going to bring me pleasure is doing your will. So nevertheless, since I'm in the family and those who are in the family are the ones that do your will, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Listen, if you want to join the family of God, today could be your day. You may have already joined religion. You may be very religious. The Pharisees had to memorize the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the whole whatever was there, the Psalms and all, to be able to be a Pharisee by the time they were 40. So they knew the Bible. And there's nothing, I mean, I just want to be honest with you, there's nothing more meaner than somebody who knows the Bible but don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous.
You know what I'm saying? If you went one more verse upside my head.
Yeah.
You know, but they didn't know Jesus. They looked at Jesus square in his face while all the scripture was inside of them and didn't realize that he was the living scriptures. He was the living word of God. And they called Jesus Satan.
That alone.
Right. It was wild. What was also interesting, though, Jesus said, you know, do what they tell you. Do what they tell you, but don't do what they do. In other words, he didn't throw out his own scriptures because they were throwing scriptures out, but they weren't following them. So you have to understand that the word of God is so powerful that even when somebody uses it with the wrong motives, you can't throw out the word of God. You got to be in the family of God. You got to grab that and say, I'm going to follow that. I'm going to follow what, even though you're not following it or it's twisted or, you know, your motives are wrong or whatever's going on. I can't just throw out the word because even Jesus said to the people who he said, your dad is Satan. He said, do what they say, but don't do what they do. It will confound them. It's like, wow. I remember the movie in the book Left Behind. You remember the preacher?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, and he was in the movie scene. Maybe we can grab this scene and we can play it. I mean, extra hour. I'm hoping we're going to get to the president's speech in the extra hour for what he said in Israel. I think it was some powerful moments in it. But the rapture came in this book he's writing about, Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye, I guess. And the only one left in that particular church building was the one who was preaching the word and maybe one other person or something.
Yeah.
And he fell down to his knees and he said, they believed it. They believed it, which is Matthew chapter 7, right? You know, many people do these and some people get so confused with it because they say, well, you know, they're so, what you would define as religious. They preach, they tell people about God, they know more of the word that just confounds me. And they're great orators, you know, in regards to how they're delivering it. But you know what? If they don't know Jesus, if they hadn't made Jesus the Lord of their life, they will be left behind. Totally left behind. That's something. You were thinking the same thing. You remember how you go falls down?
Yeah. Yeah, which goes to show you how powerful the preached word is and you know, God's word is. That, you know what? People will receive it. They'll change their life. But if you're the one that's sharing it, it's where you can't look at religion. You can't look at on the outward. God doesn't even look at the outward. He only looks at the heart.
Right. And you think about so many people defined who they are based on other people's response to the gospel they shared. You know? Not realizing you could have had, you know, it's like Sons of Stephen. It worked well for them, right?
Oh, wow. That's right.
And,
Acts 19.
Yeah. And next thing you know, they were just, they were confronted.
No doubt.
The biggest confrontation is going to take place at the throne of God, the judgment seat of God. And let me tell you something. Think about this. The enemies beat the whole concept of family up. But when we walk in family, when you have problems in family and things happen, but the fact that you love each other and you love God and the plumb line for your lives of the family of God is the word of God. So it's not anybody's agenda. It's God's agenda.
That's
and
right.
His plans are good for us. He's got mercy and grace and forgiveness. And he's amongst you when you're walking as family and you're walking in love. The Holy Spirit's there. Signs, wonders, miracles, all the things. It's like your typical everyday life, you know, for a believer. And it's an amazing thing.
We can get through this. We can get through this, right? We can get through this. We have Jesus and we have the word. We can get through this.
That's exactly it. So if you, we shared a couple of our testimonies about how we met God, our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Read them. Maybe that can help you out. Welcome to the family of Today's Your Day and let us know.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You have your interests and hobbies, but what if those get in the way of having a good marriage? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's psychologist Dr. Julie Slattery.
I think a woman then views her husband as being immature, and her job is to get him to take life more seriously. But what she doesn't realize is that that's a sign of immaturity in her own life, that I have to fix him. And by trying to fix the marriage, she's actually sabotaging things. And that deeper issue is, how is God calling each of you to maturity? And for a woman, that might be learning to trust the Holy Spirit, learning to believe in this man who still has aspects of immaturity. We all do.
It's good to remember we all have room to grow and that God's interested in working in our lives for His glory. You'll find more trusted encouragement to help your relationship thrive at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
But I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet found a body of believers, a gathering of ones that are hearing from the Lord and desiring to position ourselves before God for this day, for this season, let me tell you, if you happen to be in the Gulf Coast region, you need to begin to come and seek out Vine Fellowship Network, this dream center that's being developed, an apostolic center to be able to be one of the foundational parts of the many parts that are in America to be able to turn the nation around. But if you can't, if you're not close geographically, you need to begin to join us virtually and join with all the virtual members that are joining us and listening and staying in tune, because we can stay together. There's so many different ways to connect today through VFN TV, VFN Radio, and every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on VFN Radio, a live broadcast from a prophetic word just coming out that moment in time from the VFN Dream Center. You need to catch it, be a part of what's going on. There's hope, but you got to get under a message of hope. You got to understand your part. When I read about Dr. Carson's book in America the Beautiful, that the consistent theme throughout his book, which is really good, but you got to get it. I didn't read it for a long time because I'm thinking, okay, it's going to talk about it, spacious skies, purple seas, and purple mountains and majesty. And it had nothing to do with that. But one consistent theme, other than, of course, God throughout the book, is sacrifice, personal sacrifice. And if you want to be a part, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, a part, a player in the kingdom, if you want to quit being a spectator, if you're ready to get involved and be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, not an itching ear dictator demanding from others what you want to hear, but somebody who says, I want to hear from God and I want to be a doer of the word and blessing all that I do. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network, the VFN Dream Center is for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But joining me this morning, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Juan. Good morning. Good morning,
hola,
John Paul.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Muy bien. Yeah, and you know, that's as far as I got. I passed the first test in Spanish, and the second one, you know, they had Google, right? The translator is something, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, is it?
I'm telling you what, it's totally amazing. It looks like where, you know, when you think about in the beginning when, you know, man started going their own way, the fall in the garden, of course, it ended up with Nimrod, some people that, you know, Pat had studied early on in his walk, I think two hours into his walk, the beginning of time, and Nephilim. And all that, they were going to build a tower. They were going to build a Trump Tower. No, they were going to build a tower because, you know, they were going to build it all the way to heaven. That's what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, man's always trying to build higher than the next one and the next tallest building, and a lot of our tallest buildings in the world is nothing but men's pride competing, you know. Mm-hmm. If it can't be bigger or taller, it'll be supposed to be plusher or nicer. With that, God says specifically, we need to just go down there and check this out, you know, send somebody down there because they got one vision, one direction that they're going to accomplish because we're creating the image and the likeness of God. Mm-hmm. Even a fool can accomplish his folly, even though that will all end in hell. I mean, we have this great ability to create. Mm-hmm. We can create good, or we can create bad. And so they said, listen, you know, it's happening. It's what's going on. They're building it. And he says, well, go down there, and I want you to go and just confuse their language. I want, you know, all of a sudden I want people to speak like different languages, whatever mm-hmm. those instantly just poured out, and God just changed people's mindset, and all of a sudden they began to speak different languages. And when you can't communicate, anybody that's married knows that you got to practice in your communication skills, right? Oh, that's just a marriage. Imagine what a nation is like, or a group of people that all of a sudden you're just kind of like signing to them, or, you know, somebody looks at you and they're speaking Russian, you know, mm-hmm. and you're American, so you can sometimes barely speak English. And somebody from Lubbock, Texas sent something about that. I got to find that. But he talks about, if you speak three languages, this is probably you. If you speak one language, this is probably you. If you speak only one language, you're probably American, mm-hmm. right? And, of course, that's not true of all Americans, but the majority of them. Mm-hmm. And so he confused all the language. And what happened was, it breaks men. When men can't communicate, it stops men's plans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, men are always attempting, how can we break this God code, you know, that he put a lockdown on the ability of men to really stay together a long period of time to be able to accomplish evil goals. Mm-hmm. It's funny how, you know, you can always hang in there and realize, even though it looks like the evil man's going to make it, eventually he's going to turn in on himself, because mm-hmm. his whole people under him are going to get prideful and want to take over, and just all those different things that happen, and it won't last long. There'd be a common goal for a while, and then the whole caliphate will turn in on itself. Anyway, so of course, Google now has a translator that actually takes, you know, you're sitting here talking to anybody in the world to a language you never spoke before, mm-hmm. and you just take their text, what they emailed to you, or they're chatting with you, and it automatically, you pick the language that they are and the language you are, and it just comes into, you know, enough interpretation to know what they're talking about. And that's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Very amazing.
That's an amazing thing. But that's man's attempt, and it's still flawed, and it's still, mm-hmm. you know, because even we don't even know the definitions of our own words. Well, you can imagine when two different, you know, people are talking. But then let me tell you about this. But there was a day that when Jesus's ministry was finished on earth, and he started ascending slowly up and going towards the Father, and they're looking at him, and he says, you know, as he's going, some angels appear and they say, well, you know, what are you doing here looking up? This same Jesus that's left is going to come again. And so he told them all gather in a particular place, upper room, and he talks about it in Acts. But what happened in Acts, is the birth of the church in the beginning of the book of Acts, what was blown up in the Tower of Babel, the inability for men to understand each other, when the church was birthed in Acts, in the beginning of the Acts, means the Acts of the church, is the freshest look at the church and it's operating, is that all of a sudden, through the same God that confused the language in the beginning, now the Holy Spirit filled men and they began to speak in other tongues that other men began to understand them. They were speaking in tongues they didn't even know about, another language, languages they didn't know. And all of a sudden people, because everybody was gathered from all around the world, you know, different nations there to be able to worship. And so they're hearing their own language. And so it's like, wow, the confusion that came out of the pride of men, the Tower of Babel and Babylon and all these things you're hearing. That's where all that comes from. The Babylonian captivity, you know, men end up in Babylonian captivity when they actually start moving in pride and all that stuff. But the birth of the church was that God fixed Babylon. He fixed it. Mm-hmm. The church fixes it. When you give your life to God, he will fix what happened years and years and thousands of years ago. Because when you give your life and your heart to God, he has the ability, no matter where you are in the world, when you find another brother or sister in the Lord, I mean, you don't never seen each other day in your life, but just not even saying a word. You're just radiating the same language and you're so glad to be together because it's the same God that's in you is the same God that's in him and her. It's just an awesome thing. I remember ministering in Denmark and, you know, I didn't speak obviously Danish and very interesting language. And we were all over Denmark.
What does it sound like?
What's that?
What does it sound like?
Isky, musky, lusky, disky. Grown folk, like MMA wrestlers kind of go, and it's just like, it throws you off. It's like they're talking and then they go, you're going like, oh, check. Anyway, but we were just in love with Jesus. We were ministering, praying for them, and they're writing all about it in Danish in their papers and all that. But even though we didn't speak the Danish language, we spoke the language of God, which is love and a desire for Jesus. And that's what we had in common. So, you know, the confusion that happened at the Tower of Babel was fixed at the birth of the church. So I want to encourage you that if you're living a life that just seems like nobody understands you and you don't understand anybody, that's really a self-focus. I mean, you're really focused on yourself, believe it or not. And when you just go to God and say, you know what, I'm ready to fix all this confused language and communication in my life. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I want the church to be birthed in me. I want Jesus to be birthed in me. I want to accept the Lord today, just like they did in the book of Acts. And I want to be able to talk to people where they understand. And I want to be able to understand what people are saying. And that'll happen when your mind's no longer blinded by the God of this world. And the blinders are off your eyes. Because the second you are born again, you see, you understand, you can see clearly. As we were sharing yesterday, when Pat was sharing his testimony about the Brownsville outpouring, the second he got saved, he knew what sin was, even though he hadn't read anything about sin. And everywhere he looked, there was sin. He was a bad man. He was a very bad man. And he ended up in a closet eating tuna fish and crackers, but we'll talk more about that in the future, right?
Yep, sure did.
I'm telling you.
Can't wait to hear that.
I'm telling you. And so I want to encourage you, realize that when you hear about Babylon and you hear about Babylonian captivity and you hear about Nebuchadnezzar, this is all that whole lineage of all what started with building a tower that ended up in confusion. And confusion's fixed. God is a God of order, and he's not a God of confusion. And the devil is the one who likes to confuse and bring chaos. You know, you'll find somebody that's, they may be religious, but they're bound by the devil, or they're somebody who's in the world that's bound by the devil. And how they get things to go their way is they walk in talking 10,000 words a minute, saying nothing, putting a huge cloud of chaos and confusion. It's like, Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel. And then all of a sudden, while your head's spinning, if you don't understand or discern this, they turn it. They turn the ship, they turn the car, they turn the ministry, they turn the workplace, they turn the relationship, they turn the marriage, they turn the family. And it's like, you have to understand that when confusion comes in, that it's to stop things, to turn things. And God's got a peace and order. I mean, look at Jesus when he talks about, look at the rocks, look at the thorns, look at the sea, look at the water, look at the children. I mean, it's not that complicated. Mm-hmm. The simplicity of the gospel. It's not simple, but it's simple to understand. You know, it's a huge price that was paid, but it's just powerful.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. That just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You know, so many things are going on, you know, but I want to say we didn't get a chance to do this, and it's so important. We talked about last week. It used to be a program for all those young whippersnappers out there that that don't know about it. It was called Happy Days.
Yeah.
Then on Happy Days, there was this particular cool guy. He was a cool guy, and he had, yeah, I know, that word actually did exist.
Yeah, and that's something.
Yeah, and so... and he never said he was wrong. He never said that it was just real difficult for him to do it. He would just kind of get around the bush. Obviously, we don't have that issue. It's just this particular character, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so, you know, the church, we're going to have to stand up at some point in our lives if we still want more life, you know, as the church. And we're going to have to say, I know, but I was wrong. So we have it right here on the VFN TV blog. You got to hear this. We're going to play. He's talking to one of his guys in the show with him, and Pat would probably know who it
is. Ralph Mouth.
Ralph Mouth. See, I told you he would know.
Does he have a jacket? Does he still have his jacket?
Oh, he's in a leather jacket. You know, he's being Mr. Cool, leaning against his hot rod right here, and he's sad that his partner's about to go into the military, and so he's talking to him here. You got to hear this. I mean, this is how simple it is it not? You know, he says, if my people who are called by my name, who are wrong, would just say that they're right. I'm going to say that he's right.
Right.
And say that we're wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? That's it.
That's it.
But it comes out like this. I was... Here you go. Hold on a second. Listen to it.
I mean, it's not important. I figured I'd hang in the barracks and cheer up the guys.
Mouth. You're not going to hang these up at any barracks because you're not going to join the Marines. Just take all this stuff home, okay?
But Fonzie, not join? I'm all packed. You told me it was the right thing to do.
Look, I know what I told you to do, but when I told you to do that, I was... Ralph, I was... I was not exactly right.
What do you mean not right?
I mean... not right.
I don't get you. You mean you were wrong? Mm.
Yeah, that's right, Malfa. I was what you just said I was.
Wrong? The Fonz wrong?
Malf, look. There is a first time for everything, huh?
I don't understand, Fonz. How could you be wrong about a thing like that?
Look, I don't understand it myself, Ralph. I was under a lot of pressure. I was under a lot of cars, too. Two of them were Edsels. Maybe the pressure was getting to me. I don't know.
No, Fonzie. You might have been under a lot of cars, but you weren't wrong. You were right. Everything you said about me was true. I'm useless around here. I gotta join. Everybody hates me. I'll see you.
Mouth! I didn't tell you why I was, I didn't tell you why you shouldn't join the Marines.
Why shouldn't I go, Fonz? I mean, tell me.
Because if you join the Marines, I'm gonna miss you.
Oh.
You miss me? But Fonz, you're always telling me to get lost and to sit on it. You even told me I was useless.
Ralphie, don't you know when I'm joshing?
Can you interpret that? I think, yeah, he was giving him a very hard time, assuming they would have a relationship forever. He's about to lose it, and he's like, I was wrong. I mean, it's just, think about it. Is that not all God asked for us?
That's it.
You know? And it's just, it's, I don't know, what do you think that is? What do you think, why was it so hard for Fonzie?
Pride.
That's exactly what he couldn't say the simple thing. You know, if you're walking with God, you're going to say it quite often. You know, God's going to bring it to our attention, different things, and he's going to not, and sometimes it's not even the fact that you're doing what you're doing is wrong, but God took a turn somewhere, and you just liked what you were doing, so you just kept on doing it instead of following God. Yeah, you know, he took a left and you went straight, or he took a right and you went, you know, vice versa. And so, you know, it's following God. So sometimes you got to say, you know what, this was good for a season. But God says there's a new thing happening. You know what I'm saying? And we can stand and say, you know what? This is how this thing began years ago, and this is how the next season will begin if we're willing to step up and follow it. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's totally, totally awesome.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I just want to encourage you this morning. If you're an individual that kind of gets up in the morning and sits on the side of your bed, and then you just kind of wind yourself up like a doll, you have this big winder on your back, you just kind of wind yourself, and you walked around like a little marching soldier going, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? I know this is not right. I've been thinking about me all day, and I know this is wrong, but you know, I was like, if you know what's wrong, why do you follow that with, but I'm still doing it? That's sort of like a husband walking in, the wife says, I know I'm not supposed to be in adultery, but she was beautiful. You know, it's like, come on. What? Don't you see how wrong that is? I mean, you would see that if your husband was doing that, or if your wife comes home and says, I know this is wrong, but you know, the bag boy, you know, at the whatever. And I guess they do that now, right?
Grocery. Do they have bag boys?
I don't know. And we have bag girls. This is a different culture today. And but you think about it, it's like the husband's like, what? You know, he's like, don't you know that's wrong? But it's right. The American culture is like, I know that you're not supposed to do heroin, but I had to do a few lines today. And it's like, come on. The other side of that should not even be said.
Exactly.
And by the way, the other side of butt is never good. Mm-hmm. It don't matter what you say on the left side of butt, because there ain't nothing right on the right side of butt. Because when you say but at the end of, it could be some beautiful oracle. Just great. You could be talking about salvation and the manifestation of God's glory and the holiness and revival and how you're supposed to be before God. But if you say but at the end of that, let me tell you what that does. But is a word that nullifies, does away with everything you just said. And what you're saying is, what I'm about to say is what I really believe. And that's how a lot of people pull people over, because they just talk forever. You know, I understand where you're coming from, and I can kind of see, you know, how you're going. And inside they're going like, I don't believe this person. And they're kind of going with you like judo, you know what I'm saying? You know, but I was thinking, it's like, oh, everything they just said to you, you know, wash it out. You say, could you hold on a minute? I got to erase everything you just said in my head, because everything you said at this point was good, but you brought your butt into it. And now I got to listen to what's going to happen on the other side of butt. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, is this a butt counseling session? Are you going to tell me everything is right? By the way, I'm talking about B-U-T. But the word but is a conjunction that nullifies everything afterwards. You remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Conjunction, what's your function? Hooking up phrases and making them function.
Oh, wow.
Ands and ifs and buts and... Impressive. You're probably listening to White Now. Anyway, the...
White Now.
White Now.
Yeah, Snake Nail or something. Anyway, he's saved now. We'll just let it go. Don't even look at the tattoo. You know, listen... You got to live on the right side of the butt. You got to, left side of the butt. just forget about, we don't say but, and realize too, it's not unfair for somebody to confront you when your butt comes into the conversation, right? I mean, when somebody comes in and just says, oh, I don't care. I don't care if they read Genesis or they read Matthew or they read Revelation to you and they said, I'm in agreement with this. And even if they said, so sweet, and they go, but, you know, slam on brakes to say, okay, hold on a minute. Let me shake my head like an Etch-a-Sketch because all of that was nothing but flattery. Mm-hmm. You're about to tell me the real deal right now. And you know, plain as day, you know, if your husband came home and says, I know I'm supposed to be loyal to you. And I know we got married 10 years ago, 5 years ago, but you know, I saw this lady at the store selling perfume and I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, hang on. You're going to forget everything on the left side of the butt. Mm. And you're going to say, we need to focus on the right side of the butt because what you just said is what you're really, and that's for everybody. And America's been living on the right side of the butt. I mean, come on. We say all the right stuff. We sing the songs. We build buildings. We have a statement out there from some of organizations that says, you know, you're not going to be growing unless you're in debt. It's like, no, you're supposed to owe no man nothing. I mean, if we have debt, we're not happy about it. And we definitely aren't using it for a building program. Anyway, so, but, you know, people will come and they'll be fearful about the debt. And so people will come to help pay on the debt. And they're so fearful that they can't pay the debt. They'll go out and bring people into this building and they'll have more people to pay on the debt. And it's like, oh, we grew. No, your organization grew, but the kingdom of heaven didn't grow. And so we're living on, we got to get off the right side of the butt. We got to go back and say, listen, let our yeses mean yes and our noes mean no. And it's just time for us to be real. I mean, if you live your life on the right side of the butt, but you convinced everybody that you live on the left side of the butt, come on. That's called flattery. That's called flattery. And you're known by your fruit. And if you're, and your fruit is whatever, you know, after what's after the butt. But if you live your life without a butt, you know, you just say how it is. And there's no, I mean, you should listen to your language. Because sometimes we have some belief systems that we don't really realize that we're undoing what we just did. And it's just like, we're killing ourselves with our own words if we do that. You know, just, and we have to pay attention. Maybe I've been a butt. Maybe I've been one of those people that live on the right side of the butt. I might say all the right stuff and people agree with it, but they never realize when I transition. They don't realize I say it so nicely and so sweetly and I justify my transition to the right side of the butt, that all of a sudden everybody buys into it. And they go, you know what? I've been living my life on the left side of the butt, but I see you say it so sweetly and you say the same things I say. You just added a little bit on the other side of butt, right? Ooh. So what am I saying? I'm reading from Pat's script. No, obviously this is John's. But you know what I'm saying though? Isn't it frustrating? It's frustrating. Mm. And there's not anybody more frustrating than the ones who really know how to say but like nobody else. Mm. I mean, they're the ones that go, I see your point. As a matter of fact, I can empathize with you. I can kind of feel your pain. You know, Bill Clinton, I can feel your pain. And then all of a sudden in their speech, I was kind of like, you know, but I noticed. And it's like, oh, it didn't matter what politics was on the left side of that or what values was set on the left side of that. What's happening on the right side of that? But I found out in my ventures in the political realm that my values change and I no longer have Arkansas values. Now I have Washington values. And it's just crazy. And it's like, you know, we got to quit falling for people who profess the left side of the butt, but live on the right side of the butt. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.